Rutgers Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's the Friday edition of Sabres Live. Great to have you with us. I think, Marty, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're 25 hours from puck drop tomorrow.
Is that right? Yes, because it is a 1 o'clock. So
You're
absolutely right. 24 and a half hour until pregame tomorrow on MSG. Let's just put it that way. We're going to make it extra hard with a half an hour.
Oh, boy. And I mean, that's the story of the life of Newfoundlanders, right? Like that half hour difference. Like it's,
we're Vaclav Varada hours away from the game tomorrow.
Yes, we can do it that way. Or Jacob Markstrom.
I think people in Buffalo would have said, why didn't you pick Dave Hendrichuk or even Mike Greer, right? I think there's better, maybe 25, but yes. Varada, let's go with it.
We can go with all of the above and set the stage for the first of four meetings, but not too much. Like we need to save some morsels for tomorrow's pregame show at 12:30.
Yes.
But it's Buffalo-Detroit for the first time, four meetings this year. They're going to do it all over again a week from tomorrow. It'll be in Detroit. And the Red Wings have won three in a row right now. We know the Sabres are 3-1-1 in the last five. Mm-hmm. So they're both making progress. Not to put the cart before the horse here, but like if the dominoes fell properly tonight, Buffalo, in the early stages of Saturday, could jump into second place in the division with a win.
Second place, yeah, because right now they're a point back of Ottawa, Tampa, Detroit, and Toronto, which are all in front of them. Florida is ahead. That's one of the things. I know we're going to have Shayna Goldman at the bottom of the hour. That's one of the things I want to talk to her about is this Atlantic division and mm-hmm. how tight things are and how much of a mess it is. Really, like there's nobody that's really wanting to separate themselves, right? Like Toronto had a really good start. You know, they lose three of the last four. Florida had some injuries. They've played a lot of games. Tampa started well. They took a step back. Like nobody wants to really assert themselves. So I want to talk to her about that. So we'll have her at 12:30 today.
So it continues to be the tightest division in the NHL, and yes. That's good news for Buffalo based on the number of teams in the Atlantic that did not win last night. Florida, notwithstanding, congratulations, Sergei Bobrovsky, on win 400. More on that a little bit later in the show. Zach Benson not skating today. Again, that I think is 99% expected from most who have been observing the team for a while here and the idea of him getting right. Whatever combination, and we're not expecting anything drastic different in the forward lines and the pairings. What are they up against in this Detroit team that gets outshot on an average basis right now, 34-24?
Yeah.
And that's putting it kindly on some nights. But they continue to win. They've won three in a row after another win last night on home ice against the Devils.
Detroit is a weird team. They've only scored 20 goals. They've only given up 20 goals in seven games. So the offense isn't really producing much, but the defense is holding them in. And when I say the defense, I look at their group of six on the back end, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, they got Mo Sider, and they got Ben Chiarot and Jeff Petrie, which are two veterans. But I don't know. I think that the speed of the Sabres could create havoc on a Detroit team. That's all I keep coming back to is speed, speed, speed. Attack that group of defense. Just like they were supposed to do it against Pittsburgh, and they did it for the better part, and then they stopped. And then it just, maybe that's a lesson learned when they played Pittsburgh and shoulda, woulda, coulda. They walked out with a point and should have walked out with two. But that to me is, again, where I think the strength of the Sabres matches perfectly with maybe the weakness of a team on defense that doesn't have that speed. But up front, it's a mishmash of, names, like good names, like Larkin and Raymond and DeBrincat and Kane and Tarasenko. But it's like, do they really have an identity of a team up front that scares me? No, it doesn't. But, you got to play the game on the ice.
Last night's game was physical with New Jersey right down to the very last moment, which was an empty net goal and a hilarious one at that, scored by Rasmussen. And in the process, he bowled over Jack Hughes. So if you're watching on MSG, I hope you'll see it here momentarily. But the fact of the matter is,
there was a great picture on social media about it. There's a Twitter handle that is unfortunate pictures before unfortunate events or whatever. And it's always like a team tweets like, Well, that was a great period. We're up 3-0, and then all of a sudden, it's a picture of the team losing 5-3, right? It's like, but this picture, obviously, on the empty net goal was pretty cool to see. A little sportsmanlike, situation there with Hughes on the ice, and it looks like you're, on top of him, but that sounds good.
Well, and the thing is if you weren't watching the game, you wouldn't have known the hostilities leading up to that moment.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff after the whistle, and it, there were power plays because of it, and it was, Detroit's penalty kill hasn't been great. That kind of got punctuated again last night, but then they found a way as Kane delivered the winner, and then when Rasmussen was cutting to the goal for the empty netter, he ran smack into Hughes. Hughes lay on the ice, and it was not unlike Gudas against the Maple Leafs a couple of springs ago,
Joseph,
right?
Joseph Woll, right? Like, he scored and he's staring at Woll and yelling into his face.
But the hilarious thing was the immediate and obvious size difference, right? Like, when Jack Hughes gets up to try to get in his face, you're Rasmussen still was like,
he's
just
looking
like,
up to him.
Whatever.
He's a big dude. He's a really big dude. So, and they have size. Listen, I think that Detroit has size. Like, Mo Sider is a big guy, obviously.
Yeah, they have Simon Edvinson. Like, I'm going to be putting a lot of attention on him tomorrow. Like, it's crazy how good their potential number one pair could be here for the next decade.
Yeah, a potential. Absolutely. They have potential. We've been saying that out of the Detroit Red Wings for a couple of years now. They have potential because it's been Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa. It seems like Detroit kind of is still trying to get into gear here. Obviously, Buffalo has gotten better of late, and Ottawa seems to be a little bit ahead of the pack right now.
Well, you better get it into gear on the ice, and I am being serious when I say this, Marty, because the Shorzy Classic is fast approaching a KeyBank Center, and this is a little bit of a cultural phenomenon when it comes to hockey and the games and hilarity within the game itself, and obviously, we're looking forward to seeing it at KeyBank on November 13th, and Ryan McDonald's with us right now from the show Shorzy. Ryan, thank you for joining us here today.
Well, man. Thanks for having me.
are you like, who are you most, do you know the list of Sabres alumni you're up against? And who are you
they're
most
slowly
excited?
Starting to trickle out right now. Just first and foremost, before we even like, this is an honor with you guys. Thank you so much. I hear, Marty, you're playing net.
I'm playing net. Yeah. Which mask do you want me to grab off the back shelf here? Because I'm going to have to grab one of them, and I don't know if they still fit.
My eyes are shot, but let's see. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm playing out. So if I talk one, which I won't, but if I do for some miracle, what do we trade, or what do we got to get something going here.
We got to get something going for sure. Yeah. But okay. So well, first of all, you're the goalie in Shorzy. Like, you play the goalie, but you're not a goalie yourself, and you never were. So that's intriguing to me. Do you have to wear the goalie skates and the whole gear when you're on the ice doing all of the scenes?
Yeah. It's just been a weird twist of events, like, since the pandemic, even. I mean, for everyone, right? But yeah, like, I grew up with hockey, kind of like any Canadian kid. I played it till a certain age, was realizing, like, at the time I was too small, but so I kind of went on my life and pursued acting and everything. And I was lucky enough to do something within the hockey world. Just to cut quickly back, like, I used to sharpen skates. Like, I worked at a hockey store, like, all as a kid. I loved it. I was a gearhead. So I was very much into, like, the goalie stuff as well. And I loved playing it in, like, road hockey with my brother. And, it was just fun. My dad played it growing up too, and lacrosse. And it was just fun. And so it happened with, ironically, like, Slapshot 3 way back in the day. And then somehow, I went from being, like, the coach to the goalie again in this. And it's just, it's crazy because now, at this stage in life, like, it's totally rekindled the love of hockey and living in Toronto here right now. Like, I mean, this is the mecca of this area just in general, right? Like, there's no shortage of ice. The show is popular around here, which is pretty fun. It's there's kind of like life before Shorzy and life after. And, And it's been great. And like these opportunities right now where we're coming up to play you guys, and there's so many other bells and whistles we'll get to. I'm talking too much, but like,
No, that's okay. But tell us a little bit about the show, because, you know, Letterkenny started out of nowhere and then it became really popular. Actually, Larry Playfair, one of our great alumni, his nephew, Dylan, was one of the characters on Letterkenny.
Yeah,
and these cold opens, right? With Jared, you know, that is the, you know, Shorzy, like these cold opens were so big on social media. And then, you know, it created this kind of follow-up in Shorzy and the no-show, the Northern Ontario, like, senior hockey league or whatever. The no-show. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
So tell us about the show itself and it's the humor in it, which I think people in Buffalo can understand the humor because it's very Canadian-based, but it's so funny.
Well, I mean, just speaking about Buffalo, like, it's been incredible to see... that area, you know, just in the States in general, like the overwhelming response we've got from the hockey world, like down there, which is great. I mean, the sport is global. It's not just like we can sit up here and parade it, you know, but it's people love this and it's cool. It's been like, I guess, a natural kind of evolution. Like Letterkenny is this like hilarious staple in Canadian comedy now. Yeah. And Jared found a way to, you know, to just kind of direct this in a different manner. I think, like, you know, we still have a lot of the humor, which you can tell obviously is there, but as the show's progressing,
the trash talking is still good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And there's more of it. There's more to come. Like our season 4 is, and I'm really excited for that to come out.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, like these games, like there's all this stuff that has changed and, there's been moments where, you know, you hear people like, oh, it moved me like emotionally or something, like within, you know, a few minutes ago, I'm laughing about some derogatory thing. And it's cool, that little meld of worlds, because it's real. I don't know. It feels real.
Well, my son played junior A in Canada for a little bit, a couple of years. And I feel like that junior, when you were the coach, right, coaching the junior teams, and I felt like there was a lot of those young kids that identified to going through playing junior B or junior C or junior A, Northern Ontario, out in Saskatchewan or whatever, like they identified to that. And now these kids that play junior, they're playing senior hockey and they identify to all of you guys growing up into different roles.
It's pretty cool. That's funny you say that. Like, even Dilly, like Playfair's son, and like we all played in Vancouver together too, in like a men's team. So we were coming full circle playing there, and I was hearing his stories of junior, and it's just wild. And it's wild that we're all still in touch, and this is kind of happening now. Like we're not like old, but like you're getting an opportunity to have a little bit of like retrospect, and like you said about that. Kind of like playing senior hockey and having guys that are around like 35 and up and being like, oh man, like they get it. And that's around the age too, where you start to slow down and you got to make other choices in life. And I think the show is reflecting that in a little bit of a way too. And a lot of people kind of grab onto that too. So
go ahead, Duffer.
Ryan, it's coming up quick. It's November 13th here in Buffalo. For people that don't know about Shorzy and the classic and what's going to unfold on November 13th, how would you best tease them right now to reel them in for this big event?
Well, look, we are buzzing. Like the team is just, we're so excited to be able to be getting out there. There's also the fact that like, I haven't even brought up the fact, like, I don't know, has this happened since the house? I believe. Ted Nolan is going to be out there with Jordan Brandon. And that's a really special, special, special thing. I mean, there's a lot of Sabres history there. And just like within their family, you know? So I think it's really, really cool. It's a really special thing. They're such an awesome crew, those Nolans. They really are. And it's kind of cool to be in their neck of the woods for this. And obviously with everyone else, I mean, it's just an honor. Like I'm just a kid, like from Nova Scotia, like this is cool. This is awesome.
And for those that don't know, like Ted Nolan is actually playing. He's not coaching the Sabres alumni. He said, no, yeah. I want to play. I'm putting the gear on. Obviously, Brendan and Jordan will be Jim and Jim number three in the show. Like the names are hilarious. I remember JJ Frankie, JJ from the Letterkenny time. And now he's up there, obviously.
We were just skating together the other day.
Oh, you guys were. Yeah. So what a name, JJ Frankie, JJ. And the French side of it for the, for those that know the area, like the Sudbury area and the Quebec and Ontario rivalry that kind of carried over and all of that. But just so you know, some of the guys that I think we wanted to put a really tough team together because we know that you guys have toughness. So Eric Bolton is going to be playing. Brad May is playing. Rob Ray is playing. We have Zenon Konopka playing, obviously. But then we have Pat Coletta is playing. So we have some skills. We brought in Brian Gionta and Cody Hodgson. We've got Tim Kennedy is going to be in there. Rick Vive, Jason Woolley. There's so many, right? Derek Roy. So there's so many guys.
Wow, really?
So it's going to be for Sabres fans that we don't do a lot of alumni games. Like for the fans of the Sabres alumni that want to come and see some of the alumni play, I'll be in net. I don't know how good I'm going to do. I have two games in one week.
Come on, I have two games in one week.
And I haven't played in 2 years. So I may be sore. And you guys are the second game. So I may be sore and not able to move by Wednesday night.
You'll be nice. I'm sure you got some masseuses on the line and stuff. You get some treatment. I'm noticing this world. I'm just entering this world of all you pro athletes and the things and the bells and whistles and things. I'm 41. I'm doing yoga every chance I get with like mats everywhere. I'm sore as hell. And now I'm hearing this. Oh my gosh. But for real, like with you, I mean, these alumni things, this is different. And for everyone that's out there listening, like this is very different. We have There's some surprises for sure. There's some other components to it. So it's gonna be a great like event. It's gonna be family friendly. It's great.
Ryan, I have to admit, knowing some of the names of the characters that are involved in your show, I had to laugh last night when Ivan scored his first NHL goal for the Colorado. I thought, oh my gosh, what a perfect character for you guys.
That's kind of good. Yeah, I know. I was watching too that Anderson guy in Calgary after he's scoring and just dead staring people. And now it's like, oh, yeah. That's bold. Like, you know, it's just things like that, look at, I guess.
Yeah. Probably. There's obviously you guys, Terry Ryan, who is a first round pick of the Montreal Canadiens, good Newfie guy from Newfoundland. Right. And he was about my age. So we're drafted at the same time. So he has a great book out. It's like
Tales of a First Round Nothing.
Yeah. It's like, so Terry is very, very involved. And obviously one of the names that people may recognize out of that. So I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. November 13th at KeyBank Center. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. All the partial proceeds are going to benefit the Buffalo Sabres scholarship program, which we've given out. Ryan, we've given out over $1 million since the scholarship program has started, about 30 years ago. So it's amazing. And we thank you guys for making that possible.
Look, it feels so fortunate to be able to do things that we're giving back, like honestly. And I mean that truthfully with every little ounce. It's awesome.
We'll see you in a few weeks. Thank you so much.
You bet, man. I can't wait to see you guys.
ShoreZClassic.com is where you can find the tickets. It's happening at KeyBank Center on Wednesday, November the 13th. Marty, I can't believe the list that you just,
me neither,
I would say, even partially unveiled. Marty, what do you think as far as this draw for Sabre fans who don't get to see the alumni all the time?
Well, I think it's going to be awesome just to, wait a second, Ryan, you can log off. I was going to send you a message, but it's easier to just let you know like that. So thanks again,
guys. Enjoy. Yeah. Take care.
You know what? Some of the alumni like that are going to be there just to get ourselves back in the locker room, Duffer, I think is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about Jason Woolley and we just played the Dallas Stars. And I think of Woolley's goal in game one of the Stanley Cup final in overtime. And Ricky Vive plays a ton and Brad May was around. And I'm sure there was many others that would want to participate. We had to kind of put a list together, but we also wanted to get a little bit younger in our alumni.
I think you failed.
well, I don't know that we failed so much as we got some of the good players.
I know the age of Vibe and May and Ray, so that is not bringing your age down. I can assure you.
Have to bring the popularity into the, but you know, Cody Hodson was playing last year, Duffer, and we're like, hey, that's good. Derek Roy was playing a few years ago with JJ Peterka in Germany. You know, Tim Kennedy is on the ice every day doing player development, and you should see him, how he skates and the skills and all of that. So I think there's definitely some skill added to it, but it's going to be a night full of surprises, as Ryan said. There's different packages, right? And it's not just the game. If you look at the packages on the website, ShoreseyClassic.com, you can look at, you know, meet and greet and photo ops and other opportunities to be a part of it. So it's not just a game. You come in and you go out. There's opportunities to be involved in the whole night of entertainment that's going to be there.
Now, it is their event, but would the Shorzy side be the home team, or would you be the home team?
I think we are the home team. Listen, they are going to play in seven or eight markets. Detroit, Buffalo, Boston, Toronto, and they go play Chicago in Rosemont, Illinois. So there's, you know, multiple dates in some other ones. Mm-hmm. But they're the visitors. They get second change. We don't want to give that up. We want to be able to put our checking line against their top guys if we have to.
That's bad news.
We want to put Jordan and Ted as the opening face-off, most likely. We're going to get that done, so that's good.
Well, that in itself is going to be amazing. But, yeah, if you're the home team, good luck. Road team won 7 of 9 again last night in the NHL and now have the edge in points percentage.
I see how you bring it all back to the NHL. I'm trying.
But I will say this. The entirety of that conversation, having Ryan on and you two kind of sharing stories and, you know, giving a little glimpse of what it will be like as far as entertainment value and humor and things like that, and knowing that Ted Nolan is going to play and not coach, I think Shayna Goldman should be the coach.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine, based on her podcast and her wit and her sarcasm and sometimes colorful language, how much of a hit she would be behind the bench, honestly.
Duffer, you have no idea. I mean, the show Letterkenny and then transition into Shorzy, the character Shorzy was this guy that reffed like the junior games back in the, and he was trash talking the players. Mm-hmm. He was sending them to the penalty bench and he was trash talking. And before we knew who the character was, he would wear this tinted visor. So, and we didn't know it was who he ended up being, like, yeah. Shorzy, but the trash talking, very Canadian, very junior hockey-like, but it was hilarious. And just these moments, like, there's nothing going on. It's like a six-minute, like, moment in the show of just junior hockey happening, and it's just trash-talking for 6 minutes between the referee and the players. Like, it was just legendary.
This is also not unlike what actually still happens, as you can imagine, in the NHL. Officials have perhaps toned it down a little bit in recent years.
As we were told in the broadcast meeting.
I can tell you this. I am so far along in this career that I'm grateful for the number of times I've been privy through league meetings to see some of the stuff that has gone on between player and official. And I would say 99% of the time, fully warranted, because if you act like a jerk, sometimes you deserve to be put in your place, and sometimes officials have to do that, right? Just to get the message across. Not unlike, completely unlike this year when that Nashville game, when the referee was trying to make his announcement and a guy was in his face, he's like, please go to the penalty box.
Please go to the penalty box. Thank you. Funny enough, people think because hockey is physical and emotional that it should be accepted. And I've had my fair share of yelling at players and referees and have referees yell back at me. But, you know, I was just watching a documentary on rugby like a couple of months ago and how, you know, rugby, the players, even though it's very physical, very, very physical, they go up to the official and they're like, excuse me, sir, this guy poked me in the eye, sir. And it's like, there's very respectful, like, it's like, you have this and you son of a, you know, it's not that. It's very, and I'm like, oh, maybe it starts at a young age. And unfortunately for us, I'm going to go into my father of a hockey player mode. Unfortunately for us, we go to the youth rink and the kids repeat what their parents yell at the referees. And then we start at a young age without that respect. Right. So, but it's been better, obviously, I think, in the National Hockey League, but you always are going to get your moments.
Game two of the 4-game homestand for the Sabres tomorrow. It is Detroit. It is Hockey Halloween, and it happens at 1 o'clock. We're on the air with pregame coverage at 12:30. Make sure you get there early. We're going to have a ton of fun. Even in the concourse where we're broadcasting from, there's going to be a trick-or-treat trail available starting at 11:30 a.m. And, of course, the Wings come in pretty hot, winners of three straight in this ultra-tight Atlantic Division to start the year. It's Hockey Halloween. First 5,000 fans in attendance to receive a wearable goat head-themed flag. And we look forward to seeing you. Get your tickets at sabres.com/tickets today. The aforementioned Shayna Goldman is next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
She's coming in hot. It's Shayna Goldman from The Athletic here on Sabres Live. And that's not verbally, it's fashion-wise as well. Shayna, this is your opportunity to show off to the MSG audience right now, just this incredible fit you're displaying. Yep.
We have an upcycled goat head blanket sweatshirt that I'm keeping for myself. Sorry, friends. But I will try to remake if I can buy more of these blankets.
This is pretty incredible. Like, that looks fantastic. And the Sabres are wearing black and red tomorrow for the first time of the year. It's Hockey Halloween. It all comes together. I wore the black and red the last game, which they didn't wear black and red, but it worked. They beat the Dallas Stars. So I'm hoping to get the good vibes going again into that sense. Was that the best game the Sabres played this season when they played Dallas the other night? Or do you anticipate this is the standard now?
Yeah, I feel like that was definitely their best game so far. And I know it's been a low bar, and obviously it wasn't perfect, but to do that against a team as good as Dallas, right, it's all the more impressive because they're a team that's, like, well-built front to back, to goaltending, they have the balance. And generally speaking, like, if they go down in games, you know they're going to put up a good fight. And they did, and the Sabres still were able to hold on, so that's a little bit different from that game against the Penguins. Mm-hmm. Encouraging start. You're seeing guys like Tage Thompson do what he needs to do. He's earning those accents back to be our guy Tajay, so that's what we really want to see.
Yes, comes in on a nice, tidy point streak tomorrow against the Red Wings, who are hot. And obviously Dallas had the bounce back they were hoping for last night by defeating the Bruins in Boston. I wanted to start, but your fashion blew me away, so we had to start there. I wanted to start by wishing you a happy Nevada Day. And that's why we're going to get early hockey today. So if you're planning like an afternoon, Friday afternoon happy hour, your reward, if there's hockey on the screen, is going to be Ottawa and Vegas. This game starts at 6 Eastern, 3 local, as the state celebrates its founding, which was October 31st of 1864. Now, the only reason I really wanted to go down this path for both of you is not only the early start time, but among the things they are doing to celebrate during their Nevada Day parade and all the festivities, the World Championship Single Jack Rock Drill Competition.
Pardon?
I can envision this, a single jack rock drill competition. There is also a beard contest. So these are among the things that, you know, Nevada is continuing to hang on to.
Nevada is known for their single jack drilling and their beards. Like, I'm confused there. I didn't even know there was a... Do we have a New York
sense.
Day here?
I mean, people went west. They were digging and digging.
Do we have a New York day? Like, celebrate and no
school. We're self-important 365 days a week. Days a week. Oh, my God. Yeah. Days a year. So I guess we don't need one day.
Anyway... if the crowd is even more boisterous than usual in Vegas, you'll know why. They've been celebrating all day long. So
I was wondering why there was a 6 o'clock game between Ottawa and the Vegas Golden Knights. But okay, Shayna, let me ask you this then, because Ottawa's playing the early game and the Ottawa Senators in point percentage are number one in the Atlantic Division. The Atlantic's a mess. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Nobody wants to, like, assert themselves. And Buffalo all of a sudden find themselves in... They could be in second place in the Atlantic if everything falls into place before their game and their game tomorrow afternoon against Detroit. So what's with the Atlantic And who do you think is the best team or teams to watch in that group?
Yeah, the Atlantic is a really weird one because you have the Bruins, who are legitimately frauds as contenders.
Yes.
Year after year, I feel like their underlying numbers are getting more suspect. Last year, I remember in the beginning of the season looking at it, being like, why are they losing a lot of games in the shootout or blowing leads? And you could just see some really concerning five-on-five trends, especially if I remember correctly, in the third period. And this year, their five-on-five trends are just bad. So
yeah.
They don't want to win. Sorry. Sorry, Boston. They have some things to figure out there for sure. Toronto has their issues, some really bad habits creeping in. I'm not blaming the power play for not clicking. I think Wohl looks very rusty, so we'll see how he does moving forward because those were two pretty bad starts. But I think the defensive breakdowns leading up to those really quality chances are making things a lot worse for him. Florida looks good, and they're going to be at full strength soon with Barkov back, so I'm not worried about them at all. And the way that they rebounded after that loss to Minnesota, like, good for you. I think Tampa's a team to watch. Tampa looks great. I think Kucherov is scoring a million goals this year, and Gensel's going to be setting them up for them instead. So that's encouraging. So I think you have the two Florida teams as the ones to watch, the ones to beat right now. But I like that Ottawa and Buffalo are making things interesting. I mean, Ottawa, we've been waiting for how long? And to be doing it with Ullmark sidelined is a little bit more impressive to me. Because we know that they have all this star potential, but then there's been injuries to their center depth or, you know, players like Tim Stützle. It's like the bad defense overtakes what he can do offensively. So if they can start, you know, finding their way, maybe they could be that Atlantic Division disruptor I think we've been clamoring for between Ottawa, Buffalo, or Detroit for some time.
Do you think this Detroit success is sustainable?
No, well, the thing is, when you win a game with 11 shots on goal, and then last night you do it with what, 14, like the Devils controlled play last night. And I think goaltending was really their undoing. So that game, I would not have said Detroit should win. And that penalty kill is a disaster right now in all of the ways. It's not just goaltending, it's everything. So they need some work for sure to let the results sustain, right? You need to pick it up below the surface.
Okay, you mentioned goaltending in New Jersey. Jacob Markstrom is probably bottom five or six in the NHL right now in goals save above expectation. That was their problem last year with Vitek Vanecek and whoever else they had back there. They went and got Jake Allen. He helped a little bit, but is New Jersey with Sheldon Keefe at the helm now having an issue again, trying to get a save or two, because I think they got a good team and they got Hughes and Pesci back, but can't get a save.
Yeah. Like, I think that there is work to do in front of the crease, right? And we're seeing Jack Hughes look like Jack Hughes, which he didn't for the first few games, and coming off an injury. Okay. And Nico Hischier is thriving. So you have the pieces starting to click, right? Even Timo Meier's bouncing back after last year's disaster. I think there's some work to do on defense. I think they need to reshuffle their pairings around, figure out a way to maximize Dougie Hamilton a little bit more, because I've been a little, I think he looked better last night, but I've been a little bit underwhelmed by him to start the season. But yes, you need good goaltending, and it's tough because the Devils should be the kind of team that if their goalies have an off night, they are so good in front of the blue paint that they can carry them. And that hasn't been the case as much. I mean, last night, I think it was a little bit of poor puck luck for them. But I'm not so worried about Markstrom. Allen, I'm not really surprised, because I think his really good years in, like, Montreal were a little bit more of aberrations than the reality of what he is at this point. With Markstrom on paper, I think he's a really strong goalie for the Devils, because you look at Calgary and why his numbers were so good, and they were even better because of the saves he was making off those defensive breakdowns and, you know, those quick turnovers that were leading to shots against. He's really good for that, which I think clicks with their rush-based system. But, I mean, he needs to hit his stride a little bit more. I don't want to be like throwing stones. I do have some questions about the Devils' goaltending development system, because I do feel like sometimes we see goalies go there to die or not maintain their consistency. So I do wonder if maybe there's work to be done in that, you know, in that facet of the organization to help their players a little bit more.
They only have the greatest goalie. Well, no, the second greatest goalie of all time, because Dom was the greatest goalie of all time. But that Marty in their front office to did Marty Brodeur to develop the goalies in New Jersey. But you're right. Like, was it Dawes? It was Akira Schmid. It was they had a lot of prospects, and it doesn't seem to develop into anything.
And Blackwood even.
Blackwood, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even when Corey Schneider was there, like, it just it didn't go.
Well, Corey was really good.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was shock and dismay in the NHL last night. Minnesota fell behind for 7 minutes in their game against Tampa, but they recovered with three straight goals and won the game. So it's now the Jets and the Wild, the only two that still have a zero in the regulation loss column. Winnipeg, of course, is perfect overall. Who's the better team in that Central, Winnipeg or Minnesota?
Ooh, tough one. I'm going to give a very slight edge to Winnipeg because Connor Hellebuyck's either your success. I think you don't match that. And I think that their offense is popping a little bit more. I think that they're playing a better two-way game. But I don't want to discount what the Wild are doing because the Wild are playing to their identity, which they really failed to last year at times. This is the best defensive team in the league again. They look incredible. And the goaltending now they have to back it up. Gustafson's back, bounced back. He looks more like the version he did 2 years ago, which is huge for them. Kaprizov is clicking. You have Rossi between that line, which allows for more lineup balance because you can go Eriksson-Ek with Boldy, which is exactly what they've been missing. When you look at last night's game, their third period, the way they locked it down, I think according to Natural Stat Trick, they only allowed Tampa to generate 0.1 expected goals for. They had some shots, but they weren't quality shots. And Minnesota put up 0.7 expected goals. It's not, oh my God, overwhelming offense from Minnesota, but they're so tight defensively that they're just suffocating their opponents. And that's exactly what they need to do if they're not going to be this high-octane scoring team. They're creating enough to, you know, win these games with a pretty good margin because they're so stout defensively and so steady in net again.
Are the Colorado Avalanche back? I know it was a tough start and Georgiev was not great at all, but they beat Utah. Obviously, Utah is having some issues with their injuries, but you know they get a great game from Justus Annunen again. So are the Colorado Avalanche back with their backup as the lead cause for it?
Yeah, Annunen has, what, three quality starts in a row now, I think, for the Avs, which is really encouraging. And they're a team kind of similar to the Devils in that they don't need perfect goaltending. I know they've had a lot of injuries to navigate, but it seems like they're figuring out what to do. Like, Casey Millsat has been such a good fit there. Mm-hmm. Ross Colton right now, you move him from 3C up to wing, and it's elevated his game to a new level. And while I don't know if you necessarily keep him there, it's a great option to have while you're figuring out that middle six, which is the biggest question mark of all. For the Avalanche, all they have to do is weather the storm of not having Lehkonen, Nichushkin, and then Landeskog, who, you know, it seems like is going to return this year. It seems like they have figured out a way to do that right now, which is going to help them in the long run, because as they get those reinforcements, they're going to look like maybe one of the deepest versions of this team we've seen in a minute, right? Because where they finished off last season, I think it was the best team that they've put out in a couple seasons too, because that depth finally was there. So they can get back to that this year if they keep up, if they can just weather that storm and keep going. And I think you see some of those passing plays on their goals and some of that speed and power again, you go, that's the Avalanche I know.
They've won four in a row. They're back to 500. Makar and MacKinnon extended their league-leading point streaks to 8 games last night. Ross Colton has 7 goals, which is one off the league lead by Kucherov. And indeed, they look like the team that is absolutely what they were expected to be, and who knows just how good a run. I mean, oh, we've been talking this week, actually, and you can make this really brief. Do you think Makar can stay in the hunt for the Art Ross?
No. But no.
He's going to get 100 points, right? He's going to get 100 points.
Yeah, I just think the forwards out there are going to push past that. I think Connor McDavid, you're seeing him like hit his stride. Once that power play starts going at Edmonton, watch out. And I think Nikita Kucherov is going to, you know, give him a run for his money. But do I think he's going to be in the Norris conversation more than he was last year? Because I don't think he was as good last year.
Right.
Absolutely, yes.
What do you make of the fact that Shea Theodore will now be around for at least 7 more Nevada days to maybe take part in a single jack rock drill competition? What do you think of his new deal?
I think it's a great deal. I think he's a great offensive defenseman there. I was really curious to see how this situation was going to shake out, because when you look at Vegas, I was wondering, are they going to go for another winger? Are they going to make a big trade for a big time winger? Because that's what they're missing. You know, all the Marner speculation the whole summer, I'm going, you know, Theodore plus something else for Marner would really cook. Like, that could be the deal. But I don't know if I want to give up Shea Theodore if I'm Vegas. I think it's very smart to lock him up. He's their best offensive defenseman. They have a lot of two-way talent that you need someone like that offensively, but it's a lot of money on defense now with Hanifin, Petrangelo, and Theodore. So it's like, where are they going to make cuts? Where are they going to be ruthless this time to make everything click? Maybe they go really, really, really cheap in net because they feel we're so good in front of it. But you know that other shoe is going to drop. I just think making sure that shoe drops in Vegas with Theodore is the move.
Okay, but I feel like Theodore took a team-friendly deal. He probably could have been an $8 million defenseman plus easily. And this comes into the whole, well, no state tax in Nevada. They celebrate Nevada Day because they love that they don't have state tax. That's probably why we don't have a New York Day, because we have high taxes in New York, and that's why we don't want to celebrate that. But is this going to be another one of those contracts that we're going to look and say, well, it's an advantage to Nevada, Florida, Tennessee, and those type of states?
It's an advantage for sure, but sometimes I think the advantage actually gets overblown because so many players are taxed on the road, right? You go all across the country, you're still playing 41 road games. And for some cities and states, you're taxed. You might be taxed for both in some cases, like Detroit and Michigan, I think it is their city and
Philadelphia,
state tax.
I think, is Pennsylvania and Philadelphia taxes,
Same with Pittsburgh. And some of them count them as a duty day. So if you're there for practice, you're getting taxed for that day too. If you land at 11:59 the day before, that counts. You might, you know, you want to get that plane in a 12:01 instead of 11:59. So it's so tough to just say the impact of taxes when I think sometimes we just look and go, well, their home salary, when we're not accounting for the days that they're on the road. It's an advantage for sure. It definitely helps. I'm sure it also helps that you say you want to be on a competitive team and you want to be a team player. This is what you have to do. And here's the internal cap we have. And you're a second pair guy, even though I think he's one of the best defensemen. You can use that to leverage him to a lower number.
Yeah, agreed. I was going to be so bold as to say maybe he just likes winning, and that would be why he took the contract that he did.
I always say, Duffer, what's another $500,000? What's the $500,000?
Every time we go out for lunch, you say exactly say that.
What's another? And if you're in Vegas too, do you care about that $500,000? Or do you fight for your trade clauses so they can't just pull the rug out from under you and trade you? That would be, if I'm a player in Vegas and you go, okay, well, you have the benefit of winning, you have the benefit of no income tax in the state. I would also say I would fight tooth and nail to have control over my future. So if they decide to trade me, at least I can decide where.
Amazing.
It's a good point.
Great way to end it. Shayna, one more show of the fashion. For the audience.
I gotta get more Sabres gear up there. More is coming. I actually might have a goat head jacket on the way soon.
Wow. Ooh. Well, that's
perfect for tomorrow.
It
would be.
Yes. Please pay attention tomorrow, Shayna. We will have some incredible goat head apparel that we will be displaying here on MSG. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Victor Nochev is 21 today, Marty. Happy birthday to the young Amerk, who you were highlighting for his efforts in the 6-1 win on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think he's been really good. I've really been impressed with his quickness, his skill set, and one to watch as a Sabres prospect trying to make the steps to the NHL.
Amerks are in Cleveland tomorrow. Sabres, of course, home for Hockey Halloween. It's a 1 o'clock start. As a member of the Goaltenders Union in NHL history, what do you make of Sergei Bobrovsky being the fastest of 400 wins among all NHL netminders? He is the 14th to join that rather exclusive and incredibly impressive club.
I mean, I played just a little over 500 games. He's got 400 wins. Like, that's impressive right there when I look at it. Yes, to do it in the way that he's done it, domination, obviously the Vezina trophies to back it up. He's been about as good as anybody in this era of players. And yes, Sergei Bobrovsky should. You know what? Because you mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky, so Vegas visited West Point last year because their owner, Bill Foley, is a West Point grad. So they took the cup and they went and visited West Point. Today is the Stanley Cup day at West Point with the Florida Panthers and Vinny Viola, who is a West Point grad, visiting the cadets. So my son is actually sitting at lunch at a table next to Sam Reinhart and Sergei Bobrovsky right now. He texted me, what should I say to them? I'm like, yeah, just shut up and listen.
That's impressive advice coming from you. When did you learn that?
You tell me I need to listen a little bit more. So I try to pass along, but I don't listen ever.
My body language, facial expressions might suggest that. I don't know if I
do what I say, not what I do.
Actually, I have said it. I have said it to you. In fact, recently, what do you expect tomorrow?
I expect a really strong effort. I'm saying like a 5-1 win for the Sabres tomorrow.
Holy cow. I wish we had more time in the show.
So coming in hot. Let's go.
So, can't wait to see you for Hockey Halloween in the concourse at KeyBank, 1230 on MSG tomorrow.